so. And we'll get started. Lights on, fans on, it doesn't feel like that. It's hot. Well, it's all the company we have here. And as I said, we're going to be just doing a discussion on submission, and I'm going to be focusing basically on myself as a boy. And I got a little spiel I wrote up here, which I'll read off to you guys. And then at the end, if you have any questions about that, you can go in and ask me, and then we'll move on down the line, and each of us will be making contributions. And then after that, any general questions will be welcome. So, to begin with, I got a cheat sheet here. I did get my printer to work.
That's excellent.
Starting this way, and if my eyes give out, I'll go to the bigger print. I'll print it up for me.
And we all have phones where we'll come up and hold the light.
Hold the light down on me, yes. That might be necessary. That was that night blindness. Anyway, I am Boy Richard Taurus Hunting. And I have been a boy for a very long time, obviously. And one of the older members of the group, maybe I'm the oldest one, I don't know. But irregardless of that, chronological age has nothing to do with being a boy, or for that matter, choosing a role in one's life as being submissive. It has nothing to do with age. And it's also important to point out that while there may be similarities between one who is a boy and one who is a slave, a boy, strictly speaking, is not a slave. A boy is a volunteer for the things that he participates in, or she, most of the ladies, participates in, where a slave is not a volunteer. And one's identity and it's kind of a self-expression of what one feels from within. And it comes from one's spirit and it comes from one's mind. And I am a boy. And I was born with the heart, mind, and spirit of a boy. And if one listens to the voice within, in case anyone's questioning about what kind of roles, directions, or identities they may want to assume for themselves, listen to those voices. They'll tell you which fork in the road to take. And this is essentially how I did it. A little personal history here. My first awareness and perhaps acknowledgement of myself being a boy happened really within the chronological age period when I was a boy. It happened when I was about 10 years old. And it's also happens to have been when I became aware of my sexual identity as being a gay man. Of course, way back then, there wasn't even the word gay that was used to identify that. But I knew something was going on with me. And I had this uncle, my Uncle Jack, who was a handsome, blue-eyed, blonde, extremely tanned, muscular and a very, very masculine golden bear of a man. And my Uncle Jack taught me how to swim when I was 10 years old. Learned it in his pool. And being held in his arms against that furry chest, that was like an explosion of waking up to the fact that I was a boy and this was a man. I think that's where the original seed was originally planted for me. And I really craved the physical contact that I had with him. Still wasn't sure about the sexuality part of it, but I knew that I never felt that with a female. And being that time with him when he was teaching me to swim, I just really, really was just lusting after him at the age of 10. But I was also hungry for the guidance and praise, really mentoring he gave to me, teaching to be an athletic boy. And I kind of relate that now to the mentoring and guidance that I've received from various elders within this group. That's another thing that happens with boredom. But I had to sort of like satisfy my youthful lust by diving into his laundry hamper and going deep into the pheromones that were in his tidy whities, because my Uncle Jack was not gay. But that kind of planted a seed for a number of senses for me of what it is to be a boy. And through my tween years, I would explore my sexual fantasies by removing my pajamas at night and fashioning them kind of like loincloths, a la Boy and Tarzan, or my very favorite one was fashioning Roman harnesses. Funny how that plays out now. And I would have the most incredible, wonderful, lustful dreams where I was being carried off and cared for by men who were 10, 20 years older than myself. And later on, when I joined the Navy, this Taurus began hunting in earnest. I was always looking for the company of older men. I felt more secure and comfortable with them. And since I was exploring my, since then I had been exploring my sexuality with very little, no inhibition. In the 70s, I played with an organization called the Sexual Freedom League. This was a pansexual organization, and they had the most incredible, wild pansexual parties. I mean, men, women, everything, all together. Just pick your flavor and go for it kind of thing. Really loved that. Shortly after that, I found a Letterman's Association. I think it was called Letterman San Diego, but I'm not sure. And then, of course, the RHSD, Red Hanky San Diego. Thank you, Bill. Which, as you probably know, is the Fisting Association. And hopefully that may find a rebirth sometime in the near future. And I was still attracted to older men, but I had kind of lost through all this lustful play really what the essence of being a boy was about. Until about a year ago, when I joined Fetish Men San Diego and began to search again. Part of this search of mine here, when I got here, I was looking around and I saw a lot of elders here. And I had the feeling at the time that these elders would definitely be a good source to seek for information and education and possibly mentoring. And our family has a saying that most of you have heard us used at one time or another, and that is...
Close mouth, don't get fed.
What's that?
That's not what?
Closed mouth doesn't get fed.
Closed mouth does not get fed. So, I opened my mouth, and Dad Ron saw my hunger, and took me on as being a mentor to me. Both he and Pop Nikita were my mentors. And keep it together, Richard. On March 8th, and this is really a deep, deep thing for me. I just go all verklempt every time I try to talk about it. But on March 8th, I was invited to become part of Dad Ron's family. And on March 8th, I became his collared boy. And I cannot put words to... I'll try later, but right now, I cannot put words to how much that means to me as a boy. To have that family connection and know that place. It's It's something that when one is exploring their inner selves, you're going to find that wherever it is, it's going to be deep for you. And I have joy for you, knowing that you're all going to find it. And this boy's thirst for knowledge is not... Thirst for knowledge is not... I know I was going to blow that. This boy's thirst for knowledge is not quenched. See what happens when you try to write clever shit? Just falls on the floor. The desire to serve, to pleasure, to learn the myriad ways to honor and show respect to sirs, it's not merely a role that I play. It's a passion. And I'm nurtured by that passion. These community connections that I have through my family and the extended Leather family, those in this tribe and beyond, and even in the larger extended Leather King community, the members of Club X, if any of you have not had the gift of being able to interact with those folks yet, those are some wonderful people there. And we need to be open to reaching out to them and allowing them to reach out to us. So I'm finding all these things very, very important as being a boy, and I am a submissive boy. But I'm one who is very proud of where I am in my life. And the mental image of the genealogical tree-like graph that is in my head, that reinforces my conceptualization of my identity as a boy. I think it's important to be able to learn who the connections in the families of your dearest friends and closest family members are. It will strengthen you. And part of this journey for me is the dynamics of power exchange that occurs when evolving into life as a boy, into life as a submissive, and a lot of other things that you'll be learning about. For me, as a college boy, interacting with my Leather family is very, very important, as I've said. But so is learning about and forming relationships with my extended Leather family and finding my position in the hierarchy, learning about uncles and cousins and distant brothers, because we've all got them. You may not know about them yet, but they're there, and they're family. They're very important in your life. And also very important of this is forming new relationships with sirs other than my dad. Now, the specific individual family protocol of our relationships outside the immediate family are kind of a separate subject from this presentation. If there's time later, we can get into that. But all you really need to understand is that dad will always be this boy's dad. In our family, we boys have an open relationship situation, and this provides us with opportunities to further expand our knowledge, our skills, and our experience as boys. And as some of you here are recently aware,
I'm going to get choked up again. This boy has a relationship with Sir Alf.
And Sir Alf is also on a journey of self-discovery and self-exploration all his own. And together, we are exploring the dominant, submissive aspects of our individual journeys, and we're learning together. And as to living life as an out gay Leather man, this is something I think is important. I'm out as a gay man. I came out to my parents way back in 72, and that was kind of a shock for a lot of people. And to my brother and to relatives like crazy. I fly the pride flag on my house. Don't have a Leather flag yet. Working on it. But as this boy is finding his place in the family and with the larger tribe, I feel a real desire to be more connected with my Leather self as well. And I think it's important to be out about these things publicly. That's why we do the gear invasions. That's why we are open to questions when people notice a collar or notice some leather gear and want to be able to ask us. We need to be open to that. We need to be out as leather fetish kink people. It's very important. So by having a living in leather aspect of my life, it's going to create a more consistent flow within my life, and that's something I strive to do yet. I'm not exactly sure how it's going to manifest itself, but it's something that I'm working on. And this, too, is coming deep, deep from within me. I guess it's my goal that I've set for myself in life. And there's room for plenty of y'all to join me in that, too. I feel that it's going to be very personally fulfilling for me. And I know that coming out was. I know that a lot of you that are living out, I know that it is fulfilling for you too. And I think that bringing this aspect of ourselves, this so-called dark side of ourselves, out into the sunlight, it's going to be just fucking awesome. I really do. Now that brings to this question, do I see myself evolving as becoming a sir or a master or taking the domination side of things? The answer is no. I've never had a desire to do that, and I don't see that happening for me. However, could it be for any of you? Hell yes. Any of you can reach into yourselves and find the threads of the carpet of your lives that create the you that is you. And make this happen for yourselves. And so what can you take away from this little spiel I've been laying on you? And what my brothers will be sharing with you further on this evening? Well, that's pretty easy. The open mouth gets fed, gentlemen. Let somebody know that you want to know about things. And one other thing is kind of a paraphrase of a well-known cliche. A boy's work is never done. We, boys, submissives, etc., we always have something that we can do to provide service to the sirs and doms and other gentlemen in our lives. And I'm speaking of including the entire community that as well. And there are plenty of books, and we've shared titles of some of them to you guys at various meetings. In fact, I am still my homework. Too bad Boy John isn't here, he could really give me this hassle about not being through reading this yet, but this is currently my book. This is the complete Leather Boy Handbook. I've read it through 1.5 times, working my way through the second time. And you can find them on Amazon.com, along with lots of other books that are good. And there are other things, too. There are courses. I'm currently enrolled in a private online course that is called Class for the DS, Class for the Dominant Submissive. And this is offered by Officer Daddy Dogcatcher, Daddy David Dogcatcher. Messed it up again. That's what I was trying to say the other night, and I couldn't do it out. Who is a leather brother to our dad, Ron, which makes him Uncle David for us. And this particular course is currently only being offered to his pack. He has a lot of pups, I think about 18 or 20 at this point, and he's a trainer, and invited family members, but there are lots of others online out there. Just Google them and go looking for them. You'll find them. And you can, of course, be learning from our weekly presentations and our monthly demos, too. And you can have conversations with any of those sirs here, because they will continue to be nurturing and beautiful resources for all of you. So step up, open your mouths, and volunteer the fact that you have a desire to learn about something, anything from others. And you will manifest that in your lives, without a doubt. Did you have any particular questions about me before I pass this on down the line to my brothers? Anyone?
Just a quick comment. You're an excellent speaker.
Thank you, sir.
Does it feel that way on the inside?
We didn't see it.
Thank you.
Well done.
Beautiful.
Who's the author of the
Book I mentioned?
Book.
Yeah. This is by Boy Vincent L. Andrews. Picture him on the back. And then you're welcome to peruse this, too. It'll be right here.
And the book's about $9 to $11 on Amazon.
Yeah. Very inexpensive. Footnote to books. There are four. Dad has posted that on Facebook, I believe, the ones that he recommends too. But those are the four that we were reading. First book I read was on being a slave. This is my second. And I have yet to do the Four Agreements. I believe that's next on the list for me when Boy John finishes it. And then after that, there's one I'm really looking forward to reading, The Long Pups. But I have in my mind that it would be really nice if at some point, and I've actually got the room to do it at my place, to create kind of a lending library. I've got the bookshelves. I can get my crap out of there and start filling it with books. That would be the Fetish Men's Lending Library. I'm putting that out here right now.
Do you have any audiobooks?
I'm sure there are. I haven't done any research for them to find out.
Are those?
Are these on audio? I haven't checked it out to find out. But that's a good question. I know a lot of people like to do that. I ride the bus. I'm listening to an iPad. An audiobook would work for me, too.
I believe that Nikita still has a few of my books. I'll be glad to donate those to the library.
I thought I returned them.
I'm probably in a stack underneath a bunch of stuff at my house.
Yeah.
Those, let's just say, you can come over and help me find them.
After he finishes at Jace. Danny.
I'm not as prepared as Boy Richard. I just found out I was doing this 2 hours ago.
It was on Facebook.
We're actually in the same boat.
A boy's work is never done.
A boy's work is never done. So I've been trying to think about what to say. I am a boy. I'm a sub. I don't have a lot of experience being with a lot of people. I was mostly in long-term relationships with my partners. My last partner, I was in a relationship with him for 15 years. He passed away a couple years ago. And with him, he was actually way less experienced than I was. So I was trying to teach him different things. And one of the things that I got him into was sort of being my daddy, which as an older man, he was 30 years older than me. He already had raised his kids and things like that, so he was a little unsure of how to do it and what to do. One of my things that I get into is diaper play. So I wanted him to diaper me, but he never really did it. He enjoyed me when I was walking around the house in them and would dance around in front of him and show off and that kind of stuff, but he didn't really want to participate too much with that. He was a top for a little bit, and then he started to get sick, and then he sort of switched and became a bottom. So I guess I got to practice a little more being a top. I guess being a sub, I like being a sub because I like being told what to do, even though I have in my own mind things that I will do and will not do. So if someone tells me to do something that I don't want to do, I'm going to speak up and say I don't want to do that. I'm kind of bratty that way, I guess.
Boy has the every right to tell his owner, no, he's not going to do that. Slave, different story.
No.
I guess I started being a sub from probably about 13, 14. I guess I had my first sexual experience at that around that time. I was working at a storage place in Chula Vista, and I got picked up in the mall. Really strange story. I was walking in Plaza Bonita, and this guy approached me, and he's all, "Hey, I've seen you around here before." And I'm like, "Okay." He's all, "Do you need a job? I own this storage place in Chula Vista. I'm looking for somebody to help out for the summer." And I'm like, "Okay." So then I'm like, "I have to ask my parents first." And so that he actually came to my house and met my parents, and they liked him and everything. And so then I started hanging out with him at the job in Chula Vista, working at the storage place. And then he's like, "I have another place in Palm Springs." And I'm like, "Oh, wow, I've never been there before." So then every once in a while, we would go to Palm Springs. And he was an interesting guy. The first experience of going to Palm Springs, we shared the same hotel room. There was only one bed. And obviously, things happened. And he kind of was telling me what to do and stuff. I never had sex with a man before. I never had sex with a woman before. I was a total virgin. And he made me suck his dick and things like that. And it was interesting. I liked it. I knew that I was gay at the time. So I guess that was my first sort of sub-experience. And that lasted for a whole summer. I think I went to Palm Springs with him like 3 or 4 times, and things happened after work too. He paid me money, cash, under the table when we were at that time. We can't do that now, but at that time, I guess it was a little more easier to do. Even though I felt kind of weird about it, I liked it. So I didn't say anything to him because I liked him and I liked what was going on. That's it. I don't know what else to say.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
As with Donnie, I wasn't prepared either, but you know, over the weeks I've had, you know, mulled the thought anticipating this meeting, and in many ways, I wonder why I'm up here on this panel. but then I have to remind myself that yes, I am a bottom at heart. I do. My fantasies tend towards being dominated and submitting, although I don't consider myself submissive, which is kind of a paradox, I think, that I haven't resolved. In my outside of sex, in my private life, my public life, I guess it would be, work-wise, I've always been in charge in some way or another. But I've always also, at the same time, for instance, I manage a lab, but at the same time, I see myself as servicing the group, in the sense that I want everybody to work together efficiently and effectively and so on. So I'm not seeing myself in a dominant role, I'm seeing myself as a coordinator, somebody that facilitates things. So, again, I think, you know, getting outside of that sphere where I've got to think about every little detail, and then in my personal life, I like to let go and not have to think about anything, and just go with the flow. Now, going back to, I'm trying to think back to when I was younger. Fantasy-wise, I would think about, you know, macho guys generally. One of the first guys I dated was pretty macho, and definitely.
Please speak up.
One of the first guys I dated, I think it was 18, was a macho guy, and pretty much top. And I shouldn't say all that. I mean, it was pretty versatile, but generally he was tall. Then later on in college, I met a guy that was a into S&M tom that I would pretty much do whatever he wanted to my own. It was pretty hardcore, and I didn't know back then that you could say no. And then over the years, I ended up meeting a guy that was also a top at one of the bars here years ago that I was with for probably 6 years on and off. But I had to turn that around as far as the framework of a relationship. Initially, he led everything, but he made wrong decisions and was bringing us both down. So I had to turn it around and be in charge on the level of controlling the dynamic, but he was still top sexually. So there's that aspect of it. So I don't see myself as a submissive that, you know, just gives up all control. I would consider myself at heart a boy. That's what I would like to be able to just be spontaneous and have a person that is looking out for me, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a slave. I definitely don't feel like a slave. Fantasy-wise, I could go there. But, again, it doesn't mesh with who I feel I am. So it would be just play. That's why I question, why am I sitting here? You know, I don't fit in necessarily into any one box. And also, several of the tops I've been with, not Jay, but others, I end up talking, you know, and it's like it becomes sort of like the flip. So it's not strictly one way. And I respect where they're coming from as well. I understand people often need that other side. And having been in that position, I think it's, I know the mindset. And I know how to give it to them. So, and I think Tommy probably can touch on that as well.
Yes, what time is it at first?
7:38.
Okay, then that's a good time. Okay. Who here knows the definition? Well, not definition. Who knows the role of a submissive and dominant in a placing? Can anybody tell me the role, the control that they have, either way?
I'm afraid to say anything because it sounds like a loaded question.
No, not a loaded question.
Okay. So I'm gonna. You can shoot me in the foot if you want. I'm gonna step and put my toe out.
Okay.
For me, a dominant and submissive, they're like their roles is like time sensitive. Uh-huh. It's like I agree to dominate you. You be the submissive. I'm the dominant, and I agree to dominate you. For 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's my definition of that. And that could be that I dominate you by flogging you for 30 minutes. I could dominate you, and you're giving control to me.
Mm-hmm.
That I could order you around for 30 minutes. It's like a time-sensitive thing for mm-hmm. me. Because I've been hearing a lot of this boy submissive and like interchanging them. And what I've gathered is that there's different energies for different ones. Like, from my experience, some of those things are kind of like meshed in. It's kind of confusing.
Yeah. Yes. Every boy and every boy and every slave is a little bit different, and you have to know them. The controls.
What's yours? What's your?
The controls that a dominant and a bottom has. The dominant is the director of the movie. He's the one that makes the movie and how the movie goes. But the bottom submissive is the one that has the control to the power switch that can cut the power immediately if it's gone too far.
I would add one additional thing.
in an ethical relationship. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Unethical relationships, that doesn't apply.
True. Now, my experiences of being submissive, to me, personally, I'm not really that much of a submissive, but only to one person, and that's Daddy Ron. Everybody else, I'm what you would call assertive. Not technically dominant, but not technically submissive. Depends on you, and you will be tested. What?
Not technically?
When I first started doing the BDSM scene, I was playing with really, really people who talked a good game about being dominant. And when we actually did a play scene, in my mind, what dominant was supposed to be was not what they were. And the thing was, I played with several so-called dominants, and it was the same thing over and over and over. They would, when they were flogging you or paddling you and stuff like that, we all know how to get a submissive in the deep headspace. You have, when he starts to whine, when he starts to jump a little bit, you have to know how to read his body properly, know that you're not hurting him, but still know that you're pushing him deeper and deeper and deeper into that hole. So when, if he starts to shaking and joking and jumping all over the place, but you know you're not hurting him, a lot of tops, that's when they would cut off and stop. Do the aftercare and stuff like that. And with me, I've been on the receiving end of that. I'm kind of jumping, I kind of scream a little bit, but I never said stop. I never said my safe word. Why did you quit? You got me on a big rolling, roll down this really good, deep adrenaline rush, and these endorphins kicking off. Why in the world did you quit? And
I can't imagine the top player does those sounds and physical activities is what stimulates me. It makes me go, you want to go further.
Exactly. And
that's like, okay, he's.
That's one of the reasons.
We're in sync, so I'm going. How far can I push this?
Yes, but I've always run into these tops that they push you so far, but then they will start getting nervous at their bottom. Now, every time I played with someone that I was letting them be the dominant, I mean, I need to talk. Yes, I am a jumping bean. Yes, I do kind of make a lot of noises. Doesn't mean you're killing me over here. And so I've always experienced that, and I know how pain picks, really, really submissive pain picks, like Big Boy over here, when they get on that submissive role, and this is one of the reasons I've went from submissive to assertive, is because now when I find people who claim to be submissive, we're going to have a good long discussion. I'm going to see what you like, what you don't like, and then I'm going to play with you. And I did the same thing with Big Boy. And we had a good discussion on everything that he liked and what he didn't like. So when we did play, there was no, what are you doing? Because especially when the top gets on a roll and the bottom says, what are you doing? It makes the top loses role.
Well, it's probably not so much that the top is losing. What it is that the submissive is trying to top from the bottom.
Well, yes, but
trying to run the
bossy bottom.
Well, not exactly. It really wasn't that discussed because I've run into people sitting there saying that they were total pain pigs, but as soon as you get a cane and just nick them one time on the leg, that was a no-no.
That's why I'm really into foreplay. I don't like talking or discussing. That's just not my style. That's why foreplay is very important because I touch, I do this and that. That tells me where I can go later.
Yeah.
And that's why I slap around. Yeah, while I'm kissing them, I might tap to see how they respond. And all these little foreplays tell me what I can do later.
That is a very good point. But there is a huge difference between a flogger and a cane and a whip.
Oh, yeah.
On the receiving end, it's totally different, all the feelings. So that's the reason I like to discuss it. And so when I do get with a good pain pig and I can read his body, because that's one of the reasons I like about Pig Boy, when I know I'm pushing him and I'm driving him nuts, I don't let up. I keep going. I keep pushing. And I keep pushing him. I keep pushing him until he's going crazy.
It's fun.
Because that's what they want. And that's what I wanted when I was a submissive. When I was sitting there screaming and jumping, I wanted you to keep going. I wanted you to drive me nuts. I wanted to sit there and shake and try to rip out of the restraints. Mm-hmm. But the cops always get a little nervous. That's one of the reasons I've kind of switched over a little bit more on the reserve side. And same with if you are going to dominate me now, same rules apply as I do Pig Boy as him being submissive. I test him on being submissive. I'm going to test, if you're going to dominate me, I'm going to test you on being a dominant. I want you to push me to that point. I want to, when you let go of me and take me out of the restraints, I want to be laughing like crazy out of the fucking blue. And when you just do a nice, good, basic flogging, and then you start seeing me jump and kick, that's when they back off. And yeah, when you let me do it, I got a nice little smile, but I'm not over here rolling and laughing on the ground hysterically. Because a lot of dominants are too afraid to push that heavy. And so I've always enjoyed being a dominant, but then, I mean, a submissive, but at the same time, I've always run into some dominants that I didn't agree with the way they did things. And I think that's one of the other reasons I also became a little bit more reserved, because when I'm around a dominant, I want him to be dominant. I want him, when he wants something, he tells me. A dominant person is supposed to have, when you're around him, they're supposed to be relaxed, having it easy. If they want something, they need something to drink, they're not supposed to go and get it themselves. They're supposed to look at you, and they need to have the balls to tell you. There's some dominants out there, they either just don't have what it takes to be a dominant, or they are just too, independent? You know, they'll go get it themselves. You're supposed to tell a submissive, because that's what we want to do. We want to go get you a drink. We want to go do the stuff for you, because that's what we've been enjoying out of it. What?
Definitely. Ooh, that was a lot. That was a lot. Listening. Thank you. That was a lot. I don't know where to go with that.
What would you think about having the slave come up and talk about being a slave?
Sure. All right. When we get done with the, once we go take the break and come back, I'm going to talk to you about actually being a submissive puppy.
Okay, good.
I do have one question, though.
Yes.
In my experience, the fews that I've had, there was always, there is no boundaries, but there is communication, present moment communication. If this is too much for you, tell me that it's too much for you. You have some kind of code or signal?
When I discuss what we're going to be doing, I don't go into full detail with it. I give them a good idea on what we're going to be doing, and then I read their body.
I was more concerned about your reception of that pissed you off because they let up on you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because
that's the signal that I'm curious about.
Because they weren't reading my body properly.
Right. Yeah.
There are, when you are beating a bottom, there are screams and moans and jolts that are out of happiness.
But they're out of pleasure.
Yes. Right. Happiness, pleasures.
Right.
But then there's also screams and jolts that are out of pain.
Yes.
I was just going to say, I've played with you, Tommy. And, you know, and I totally get what you say. And I also train a lot of tops. And one of the things I have to train them past is their fear of hurting somebody else. Because our whole culture says, you know, men are abusers, men are bullies, men are, you know, predators, we're bad people. And so we've got all this cultural programming that says, if you hit somebody, you're an evil human being. So they're really struggling with a lot of stuff. Being with somebody who can take it and who gladly thanks them for it afterwards is a huge breakthrough for a lot of guys that I train. And in other people's defense, I have to say, your signals are really unique, Tommy. Really. I mean, I've been playing for decades, and you have very special signals that, now that I understand them after having played with you for the first time, I look forward to the next time that we play.
Yes. See, when I've always been there, some disappointment, and you're whooping my ass, I jump. Mm-hmm. I make funny noises. Pop Connor knows this. Funny noises. I don't really know exactly what I'm saying, but I'm not screaming. I'm not in agonizing pain. I'm making this weird little funny noise, and I shake my head a little bit, but I love it. It's because I'm not used to the adrenaline rush and the endorphins hitting me all the time. So when it finally does hit me, it's overwhelming. But I don't want you to stop. I want you to keep going. When I leave, I want my back to be bloody. I want whip marks all over that motherfucker. I don't want one inch not covered. But you have to build and go there with me. You can't be afraid. That's the reason I talk. I have a discussion with these people. When you, when you, when you're sub or dominant with me, we're going to have a full discussion about everything that's going to happen. I'm going to tell you my full limits, because I've learned my limitations. And I expect you to know your limitations. And if you do not know those limitations, if you want to seek them out, I can help you. I'm assertive, so I can be dominant, I can be submissive, I can help you on both sides. And, you were kind of talking about the slave.
No. I wasn't going to talk about the slave. I was just going to offer his services to talk a little bit about his experience as a service slave. Because as long as you're talking about submission, that's pretty far out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you open to that? You want to do the break first?
Yes.
Get up.
You want to do the break?
All right.
Yeah. Are we going to do the break first?
I don't know.
Yeah, why don't we go ahead and take
what time
a break now? It's about 10 to
7:50.
Before we, is it okay to make a few announcements before
absolutely
we go to break?
Okay.
All right, and I'll make a few announcements. The first one, and pass the hat.
I don't see a hat.
I can talk while you pass it.
Oh, you've got a hat. Richard, can we borrow your hat?
Certainly, sir.
All right, the first one is this coming up starting tomorrow is San Diego Leather Weekend, and tomorrow they're going to be raising the leather flag down at the flagpole in Hillcrest on University and Normal Street. And I believe it starts at or around 5 p.m. So if you want to partake in that and see them raise the flag, you'll go down there and do that. And in conjunction with that, it is GWOMP, which is San Diego Leather Contest. And it starts Friday through Sunday. And it's all going to be down at the Victory Theater down in the Barrio Logan. And I think the main night is Saturday night. But you can go on the Fetish Men website or the Facebook page and find out further information.
Oops.
And we have a guest here tonight that Riley is here. And if you are, who are we here when Riley gave his talk about body electric?
I missed it.
Well, I have to do that again.
Yeah, no kidding. Got a fresh crew.
But however, Riley has an announcement.
There is a workshop coming up celebrating the body erotic, which is our first kind of introductory workshop. It's coming up September 13th and 14th here in San Diego. I don't know when we'll have it again next year. We normally offer it once or twice a year, but this is going to be the last one of the year. If you guys want to know more information, please contact me. If you haven't done it, it's really an amazing experience. It's quite profound. It's very transformative in a lot of ways. And a lot of people have really who learned a lot about themselves on very deep levels with what we offer. So
would you make sure that I get that information so we could post it?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, on Facebook? Should I just send it to you on Facebook?
That would be best. Yeah, share it with our
page. And if I can add a sidebar, I took it, and that's where I met my best friend, Pepe, right over there.
Yay.
Raise your hand, Pepe. There you go. It's a great experience, and if you have not done it, please.
So as long as we're doing announcements, you might have noticed that if you're a top and if you have already gotten relatively good with a flogger, we're doing something very special. On Tuesday night, we're doing the first of the Florentine flogging lessons. And, it's over there. The intention is to teach as many tops as possible how to do Florentine flogging, where let's say I've got two of these and you're doing it with both hands. He'll start with the more basic type, and then he's going to be teaching us the more advanced type in a later class. And the reason why he's doing it is that it's one more process while he earns his master's cap. Travis is very good at this stuff, and he's a wonderful man, and he is my leather son. And anybody wants to learn this stuff, this is a really good opportunity for you. You have to RSVP in order to get in. We want to make sure that we have enough supplies and stuff like that. But that's in the newsletter if you haven't been paying attention. And we want to see lots of people who want to learn. Take it away.
I think that's about it.
Okay.
For right now.
So
okay, let's go ahead
and take a 10-minute break.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay, now when I was talking about what I was talking about earlier, I wasn't referring to all tops. I was just referring to a portion of the top that I played with, mm-hmm. just to get that clear.
Were those the first time things, or you played with them? It's like being just unfamiliar.
As in the tops I played with? The couple
the ones that didn't go as far as you would like
them? Those were ones that we played several times, but they just...
You were familiar with them.
Yeah, I'm familiar with you.
Yeah.
So. The ones I was referring to were, one was My Great Dishonor, and three of his friends.
I had even less chance to prepare, so I just talk. I've always been sexually submissive, although I don't really consider myself all that submissive generally. I discovered that I really kind of like submitting to individuals. It's not so much a general thing, but if I respect somebody, I will kind of naturally submit. That's when I started out as a more typical daddy-boy type relationship. And it was only after I truly got comfortable there that I wanted to start exploring a more formalized, slightly more rigid sort of relationship. It's certainly not your typical master-slave relationship. He's married. I have a partner. We're not married technically, but we've been together for 37 years. I can't be a 24/7 slave to him. So it's definitely a unique relationship. But what I find is that the level of submission that I can, and the headspace that I can get into, because he's naturally extremely dominant, and as he's claiming his mastery, I'm basically falling into, not falling into, I'm actively going for it, so I don't fall, it's not an accidental thing. I'm moving into the role of a slave. When we're together, he calls the shots, and that's exactly what I want. And for me, it's about his needs and doing for him and taking pleasure in providing him pleasure. We play, I get plenty of sexual satisfaction. But what feeds my soul is doing things for him, making him happy. It's the focus is what he's getting off on. That's really where that's what this relationship gives me that no other relationship I've ever had gives me, and why I need this so bad.
What I would like to add to this, that he trained me to be a master. I mean, I always had it in me, but I denied it. I've had 19 collared boys, and I thought, that's all I need. I don't need any damn slaves. What do I need slaves for? Well, he completely converted me. I mean, I am so spoiled with having a slave. I'll never be without a slave, ever, if I can ever help him in my life. It's just so satisfying. But he had to teach from the bottom up. He had to teach me how to be that kind of master that he needed, and that's what I was talking about with ethical relationships. That the bottom doesn't just call the shots during the scene. You know, real power flow between people. The bottom is teaching the sir how to be the best kind of serf for that submissive.
That's the power exchange I was referring to earlier.
And every relationship is unique.
Yes.
To throw everything in one bucket and say this is how a submissive is and how a top is like that, that's a little bit, it's not fair because
exactly
everybody's energy is different.
Exactly as everyone's every relationship is unique, so is the individual. Mm-hmm. Each of us expresses that aspect of me as boy for pup. Long in pup zone for bobsled. Maybe for Stu, it's more in the bottom range with a voice.
Bob, do you feel like you thrived? There was a point where you started to thrive when it clicked. Something clicked inside of you. The direction, the satisfaction that you gained from being able to please. And then you just started to thrive because there was a time that you just opened up, like you were beaming. I remember the first time I saw you with your locket, and you were just beaming.
when Master first approached me about being collared, it freaked me out. And I called a friend and I said, What do I do? I can't. And this particular person actually advised against it. Because I was brand new. I mean, I really didn't know anything. we talked and I learned what it meant to him, and I liked the sound of it, and so I accepted the collar. And it didn't take long, it really didn't take very long, before the collar really came to represent not what I'd been afraid of, which was a very restrictive kind of, like a fence around, to keep me in. But it's an expression of the value that he puts on me, and that's a pretty heady.
Yeah, he is a smooth talker.
and just to be clear, when I say value, not as in. It's weird because I feel like he owns me, and it's a great feeling. It's security, right? It's a form of security, and I guess I hadn't realized that I needed that as badly as I came to realize it once I started to understand what the hell it was I was feeling. but I mean, was there a moment where something clicked? I would have to say no, because the relationship, has been changing, and I'm learning. He says I trained him. That's being very generous, of course, but I'm just. I guess it's a matter of finding a part of me and being able to express a part of myself that I just really kept at bay, kind of was over in the closet or in the drawer, let's say, it was, and I'm getting to experience things and express myself and a part of myself that I haven't, and it makes me kind of happy. So, beaming, I'm very, very, very proud to wear this, so I guess I beam a little, maybe.
Because there's a part that we deny of ourselves, that we suppress, and sometimes it takes someone to bring that out of us, to open us up. And once that door is open, it's almost like having that giddy schoolgirl, schoolboy feeling. and that person is not even around, and you're going through the course of your day, and you think about that, and it's like, and yeah.
That's good and bad. he takes a lot of my attention. And by that I mean, I'm thinking about him all the time. And that's, there's disadvantages to that, because I really feel the absence very, very keenly when I don't get to see him. That part's hard. But
yeah, believe me, I understand. The hardest thing I had to do was to let him go. Not everybody can beat cancer. And after 23 years, it'll be on September 2nd, I'm coming up on an anniversary. And it would have been 29 years, and I dedicated my life to this man, and I could never imagine my life without him. But what has happened is, every once in a while, there's a gap between reality, your life, and what is. And when I came to this group for the first time, it was filled with the sound of a paddle clashing on someone's eyes. And in that moment of that crack, I thought, oh, God, I remember that. Because I used to go to the principal's office to get it. I'd act up, I'd go, and they'd paddle you. And it was just a thing. But to actually hear it, and then the loving compassion that was shown amongst the guys when we got here. God, I remember, Donnie, I remember your first day, Todd. You was like, you were so timid and scared. And then just to watch you morph into becoming yourself, we all open up when we become ourselves, like that part that was never nurtured, never acknowledged, never allowed to exist. And that's the opening up that I've experienced over time, and I've witnessed it in each of you that I've had time to know. And you, oh my God.
Yeah, I was scared the very first day that I came in, because I didn't know what to expect. I was coming into a group very inexperienced. Your fetish man, kink, different things. It's like, what does that mean? It's like, I have an idea in my mind, but is it what I'm thinking of? Some of it was, some of it isn't. It just kind of, it's a puzzle and it fits together. And I learned so much from coming to these meetings and meeting with Papa Tony and everybody that I've made friendships with, Richard and Daddy Ron, Nikita, and several of you, just talking different things. And I learned that I like being flogged. Never been flogged before until I came to this group. And I was into spanking, but I didn't know about flogging. I got flogged last year for the first time at Pride, and then a few weeks later I got flogged by Papa Tony in the Eagle in front of everybody. And being sort of an exhibitionist, I kind of like to show off kind of thing, so it was a huge thrill to do that in the bar. And
what's your diaper showing?
And my diaper was showing, because I didn't know that I was going to be picked to be the person on the cross. And it was interesting. And Papa Tony's flogged me a couple other times since then. And I didn't know how far I was going to be able to go Papa Tony's a big guy. He's strong. So it's like, he puts it all out there, and I took it. And that was a big thrill for me. And I think being a submissive, if you're going to be a submissive, you have to sort of kind of get off by pleasing your dom, and you have to get a thrill out of doing things for them.
And in that way, you please yourself.
Yes.
I have a kind of question. Do long-distance relationships work in any of these type of situations?
Challenge.
like, look at cameras.
Sir Alf is. Sir Alf is
being one all the time, so you walk around with you guys each there.
Okay.
That's why I need to
Skype.
There's a month up both there, first weekend, next weekend, next month you come down here. So we were always, we spent the weekends, the first weekend each month together. Other than that, it's like every day on cameras, you know, and sharing a TV program together.
I was about to say, Sir Alf lives in Tijuana.
Oh. It's not that far.
It's not that far, but he just had his work schedule changed.
Oh.
This will be the last Wednesday meeting he's going to be able to join the meeting with us here.
Oh. How about Tuesdays?
Tuesday, well, he works from 10, from 2 till 10, Monday through Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturdays, sometimes up until 2 in the afternoon, and there's one week or so. So, yes, long-distance relationships are a challenge. We spend a lot of time on instant message. Hours and hours and hours. Part of that problem with the main thing in my leg? I sit at the computer every day.
Guys, I'll see you next week. I have a commitment I need to attend to.
Right.
Nice. It was good to see you again. Thanks for sharing. I love you. All right, I'll send you a text.
Do we have any other questions out here?
Observations?
Yes.
First of all, I want to thank all of you guys up there. This is my first time here. You guys have opened my mind a lot. It's a challenge for me because I've just met someone who considers himself a pup. With my relationship with him, the way it's going, I'm more of the aggressive guy. But in reality, I'm a caregiver. I'm a person that whatever you want me to do, I will do for you. So I'm struggling to find my role in that part where it's like I'm listening to you guys, and it seems like most of it is like, well, if I'm the bottom, I'm a boy or a submissive. Or, and for me, it's like I'm versatile. So it's really hard for me to like pinpoint where I'm going to be. And just hearing you guys' stories kind of like opened my eyes and like kind of gave me a direction. There's still a lot more for me to learn, which, you know, it's like what I'm willing to do. But it's like, it's kind of like emotional for me because it's like, I'm 42 years old and I'm finally getting out to my kinky side and my fetish side and, you know, everything I've been wanting to do. And this has like helped a lot today. So I want to thank you guys for sure.
What type of pup is he?
That, I don't know. Since I've met, we've only been going out 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And he's always said he's a pup. He howls all the time. he says he wags his tail. Mm-hmm. But as far as what type of pup.
Puppy mask?
I'm sorry?
Does he have a puppy mask?
That I don't know yet.
Okay, with puppies, and I'm assuming, is he the more submissive type?
He says he is, but with me, he's been a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah, you have to sit there and get him on his puppy side, because a lot of puppies are not that submissive, but if you, as soon as you get them in their puppy mode, that's when it hits, because that's the same way I am. When I'm around just normal day-to-day stuff, I'm not completely submissive, but I'm not really that dominant. But as soon as you put the mask on me and you start giving the orders and telling me what to do, then it hits like a ton of bricks. And he could be very similar to that. There are a couple of different ways you can handle puppies. You can either have him as the lovable little dog he is, or you can run him like military and teach him tricks. Teach him commands. And a lot of puppies like that too as well. It's good to kind of do a little bit of both. When he does good, you reward him, and when he's bad, you punish him. And the thing is, you have to find what he doesn't like that much. Don't do it too hard, but do it. And a lot of times I like to get my riding crop and whack him one good time on the balls. And being around the submissive puppies, especially if y'all are in a relationship, you also, you could have, find that he's more submissive to you than he is other people. That's also with me and Dad. Me and Dad, I have a hard time being in the puppy play stuff and just being submissive to anybody. Because since he owns me, it's kind of like the same way dogs are with their humans. You've seen dogs that when they're around their owners, they're lovable, they're kind and all that. But when you walk in the household, they're not really that lovable and kind to you. Because you're a little bit different and they don't know you yet. Once after a while they get to know you, then it's all good. But normal puppies, a lot of puppies are the same way. When they are owned and collared, they're more submissive to their owner than they are to other people. When you get him, if you are having trouble getting him in puppy play and getting him on the submissive side, it's very easy. You just need to give him the command. Tell him to get in puppy play. Get in puppy play. And when he gets, and if you haven't really done it yet, he's going to be a little like iffy at you at first. But once you get him going, get him to start eating out of his food bowl. That's another thing that will get puppies into the submissive role as well. You get them to start eating out of the food bowl, and then after you get done, just get them to come down there, lay on your feet, and let him lick your feet. And tell him to. And puppies are, when they're in their puppy space, they're not humans anymore. They're in their own little world. They are a dog. And dogs, if you teach them tricks, they'll do what you tell them to.
I think that's where it's like I'm kind of like, because it all sounds great, but at my point, like I said, it's like I'm trying to find my role, and I see myself like Richard as a boy, and I'm like, how do I make him go into that puppy mode when I myself, I'm like, how do I do that?
Well, you know, it's like it's hard for me. Slash potential handler.
Yeah, they're out there. I mean, every boy has a dog. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. Yes, you can be submissive and then still be dominant around to your dog. Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, it's like, yeah, it's that whole mentality that without knowing, you know, it's like in my mind it was like, oh, those will never mix. You know, it's like where I come from, it's like I've had experiences with another community, not the best. Like I was telling Tony, it's like the first time I got flogged was the worst experience of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the opposite to yours where they stopped. For me, it was like the guy didn't stop. Even though he heard me give him my word to stop, and he just kept going.
That's abuse.
Or it's abuse.
Yes, as soon as you say yourself, they're immediately supposed to stop.
I left there crying, basically. Never wanted to do it again. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the reasons why I locked myself away from the leather community.
Yep.
Even though my desire has always been there, my wanting to be in the group has always been there, it's just like, that experience just killed it for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It happens a lot.
My word of advice to you and to all the people, the new people here that are new being submissive, try everything three times with three people on three separate occasions. Because yes, you will have one bad experience every once in a while. Doesn't mean that the other guy around the corner is going to do it just the way he did. Now, I've been flogged by Dad. I've been flogged by Papa Tony. There's been a couple of other places. Rob's flogged me. Every one of them has their own different techniques. Some of them hit a little bit harder. Some are a little bit more fast-paced with it. They all do it a little bit different. And, too, at the same time, every flogger that's made out of a different material feels a little bit different. So I highly suggest that you give it a second try.
Also, if I could interject for a second, I deal with a lot of people who are damaged. Being the guy who has to be the one to bring them back into the community after 17 years of licking their wounds after being harmed by horrible people out there. And they're out there. We know that. But see, when you operate on your own, then you're on your own. If you're part of a tribe like this one, one of the points about Fetishmen in San Diego is the same thing as we had back in the 70s, which is we vouch for each other, saying, you know, there's somebody I think you'd really like, as opposed to you don't want to be around that guy. He is no good. That's what we did back in the 70s. We had to, because nobody else was watching out for us. The people who operate in the darkness avoid those of us who live in the light. And that's what our group is. We are visible. A sociopath, an abuser, doesn't hang out with this crew because they're afraid that people are all going to turn and point and say, that's the man, officer, arrest him. And we don't tolerate abusers in this crew. We chase them away. I know I do. And I'm just saying that sometimes we have to have each other's back, and that's what vouching is all about. So that's part of our many, many, many decades tradition in the leather and kink community. So thank you for letting me editorialize.
And also, with the copies, if you, when they become accustomed to being in the copy space and they start to love it, and especially, it's a really good idea to keep doing it at least 2 to 3 times a week. Because if you start spacing it out, they're going to start to lose their edge on it. Puppy play, if you keep getting the ball rolling, they're just going to get deeper and deeper into the space. And the more they get deeper into the space, the more they're going to start acting more like a real dog. You do it 2, 3 times, 4 times a week, he's going to be like, you're going to come home and he's going to be in the window shaking his little ass and acting all a little mentally retarded because you're home. The more you do it, the more he's going to get excited about doing things. Give him a bath. Throw him in a bathtub, wash him, and wash him. You can do that to dogs. Take and the thing is,
take him for a walk.
Yeah. Puppy play. See, he might be very shy to it at first, but he'll probably get a huge kick out of it. Because puppy play, it's not illegal. Ain't nothing illegal about it. Tell him to get on his gear, or if he's got any, get some new pets. Take him out for a walk. Take him to the park and play fetch with him. It's not illegal. He's in here. He's gonna have yeah, he might be a little shy especially at first, but once you actually get him out there, by the time you get him home, he's going to be happy as hell.
We should do a puppy thing at the dog park.
Oh,
park.
No.
Making a note.
Out there with the Renaissance. We could bring our real dogs and kind of confuse
her. One small thing, I'm just giving you some pointers for the puppy. So, when you're feeding him in his bowl, you feed him food that you don't eat with the hands. Don't put a cheeseburger or a hot dog in there. If there's something in his bowl, put a little bit of rice, a little bit of beans, and some chicken in there.
And more stew.
Yeah, and make sure the bowl is very wide and very low, so he can get his face in there. And he will make a mess with his face, and then you clean him up and you let him have some fun.
What's that daddy put in your downfall?
Biscuits and Gravy is my favorite. Because the weekends a lot. And then every once in a while, he cooks the sides, a good nice meal, the mashed potatoes and some corn and stuff like that. And then he makes some pork chops. He just recently did the mac and cheese.
It was good. This may not seem apropos of anything other than it's a resonance of the iconic vibes of being satisfied from a role. Back in the day, when we were drinking wine, we drank them out of bowls. Mm-hmm. Really shallow ones. And I got curious about what that experience was like, so I got a margarita glass one time and filled it with red wine. And what I discovered is that without a straw, when I leaned over into it, it actually became a mirror. I could see my face reflected in the surface, and I actually had to kind of drown my face in my own reflection. In order to drink. It was an amazing but very ordinary experience about submission. And release of all control in order to be satisfied. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing experience, and one that has been with us since Pythagoras. So I appreciate you talking about being fed by wolves.
Oh, yes. They were fond of reflections. That's right. Mm-hmm. And it's even on the bus, we're nice deep close to us. Yeah. Did you
eat
out
of a bowl, or you just eat out of
a bowl? No, you eat and drink out of it.
And set it too.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, if you need to find one, we found the best ones at the 99 cent store. There's only 99 cents. And they were perfect. They were plastic. You can put them in the dishwasher without any problem. Very, very low and very, very wide. Set rules. He is not allowed to say yes. He's not allowed to say no. When you say, okay, do you want to do something, he needs to bark. When he doesn't want to do something, he needs to whine and kind of back off a little bit. That will help keep a steadiness of him in the puppy headspace in between the puppy plays. And yes, if you're at dinner, people will look at you, but not big deal.
What?
And that's where I'm trying to learn more from, because it's like that's the issue I'm having. It's like we've only been together 4 weeks. We're learning each other's way of being. So for me, it's like that's where when he told me he considered himself a pup, I'm like, oh wait, what's that going to do to our relationship?
Mm-hmm. Because you want something.
Yeah.
Else as well.
Exactly. And I mean, I'm hoping, you know, like I said, we've only been together 4 weeks, I think. Learning more from him is like, I'm hoping he will understand where I want to be, and that he'd be open to the fact that I might have a dad, and he would have to understand that I have to pay my attention to my dad.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't gotten that far yet. That's one of the reasons I mainly pushed myself to come tonight, so I can find a way to talk to him about it. So I really don't know yet where it's going to lead. Hopefully, it'll help us out, but it's still up in the air.
A little advice I can give you is I struggle with that myself. Okay. Because there's Dad, there's me, John Boy, Big Boy. Now James, and then there's Master Frank at the top. And so there's dads, there's masters, we got pups, we got boys. So yeah, I struggle with that myself, trying to figure out where the hell do I belong in this food chain. And it's the best way I can explain it is it's just like the military. There's generals, there's officers, there's sergeants, there's master sergeants, there's corporals, privates, captains, and everybody knows their place. When it's the boys, or when it's just me and the boys, I'm in charge. Mm-hmm. When Dad's around, Dad's in charge of us. When Master Frank's there, he's in charge of all of us. So especially if you do get you a dad, or a sir, or a master, and he's not there, but your puppy's there, then yeah, you control your puppy. But when he serves around. It's also his job because you own him. So when he's around, your puppy has to be your service puppy as well. It's a hierarchy. That's the best way I can explain it because I struggled with that myself for quite a while.
I mean, it's, for me, it's like it's an easy step for me because like my best relationship was a 13 and a half year relationship, which the first 2 years committed to each other. After that, we opened it.
Mm-hmm.
It lasted 13 and a half years. That's been my longest relationship. I've been in committed relationships where it's just me and that one person for 8 years. So I can go from one end to the other end of the spectrum. I'm not bothered.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in relationships where it bothers the hell out of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, I hope that with this pup that I'm starting today and get into a relationship with, he'll kind of have the same open mind as I do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also scary because it's like, what if he doesn't? What if he just wants to be a pup to one person and that's it? I mean, it's like, he calls himself a stray.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know really what that means.
Stray basically means he has no honor. He's never had an honor.
Mm.
It's just like when you walk down the street and you accidentally saw a dog across the street. A dog is stray. He has no honor. He has no master, no honor. With the puppy that you fear that he might get jealous of others, then my suggestion is learn about puppy play. Learn how the submissives work. And see if he's going to be willing to turn into an alpha. If he can turn into an alpha, then he can get other omegas. Omegas are just submissive ones. There's one puppy I'm working on right now, trying to get him to get my little circle. And I want him to be my omega. And it's just the same thing. There's beta pups. Beta pups are ones that are just starting. They're strays. They're just starting. And then when that pup finds out that he's wanting to be a submissive, he goes into the omega side. If he's wanting to be dominant, he goes to the alpha side. And alphas are in charge of the omegas. And if you're still a little worried about it, get him to try to do a threesome with him every once in a while. Just see how he plays with it. And if he likes it, just bring a question up.
Bring him to the meeting.
Yeah. Well, I invited him tonight, but he's like, no. He's like, I'll wait a little bit. Like, okay.
I used to live 1.5 blocks from the previous site the group used to meet, and I walked past that door for 3.5 years before I finally said, no, this week you're going up there.
Yeah.
Best chance I ever took.
That's my feeling today. Okay. I've seen the group on Facebook for a while now and been getting the newsletter. Keep telling myself, I'll be there. Never made it. I didn't have the courage. But today, thanks, Jim. How about
someone? If I can editorialize a little bit, the things you're thinking about in your relationship with this person in your life, everybody's relationship has got things that are going on. Even vanilla relationships have things that are going on. It's just part of life. So don't let it scare you.
And remember, a closed mouth.
Don't get
communication.
That's the same. My grandfather told me every day. Close mouth on your fed. You want something? Tell me.
Thank you.
You have some more of that, huh? No. Any questions?
No. I think you guys are very well spoken. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's for our presenters. Slave.
Now, does anyone have any other announcements that they need to make?
Yeah, tonight is supposed to be karaoke night. Show of hands. Who's interested in doing karaoke? It's like 2 blocks away. I guess not. We don't have our ringleaders here tonight.
Yeah, I
so.
Think, and I'll speak a little bit to that, because I talked with,
Greg.
Yeah, he is, huh? Yeah, I talked with Brian, right. I talked with Brian last week. Brett is changing jobs, so I think he might not be here on some Wednesdays. I think he's doing a new job. And that was his thing, was the karaoke.
So what's next week, Wednesday? It's the...
Next week is demo night at the... And it's a flogging demo. So I guess there will be a week of flogging. There's Travis doing quarantine flogging on Tuesday night at the location of signmeupforevents.gmail.com. And then the following night at the same location is flogging 101.
Yes, flogging, basic BDSM 101, stuff like that. Because since we have some new people in here, we wanted to make sure you guys, if you want to go ahead and do that, you know, we will make sure to get it done to y'all as soon as possible so y'all can experience it.
In a good way.
In a good way. And I suggest for you new people, go for it.
Come and we have... equipment for you to practice on, and just come on out. It is next Wednesday, 7 p.m. So you need to go to signmeupforevents@gmail.com.
Yeah, because it won't be here.
We won't be here. It's at another location. Just go to that email and just tell them you're interested. Hey, I want to come, and somebody will answer you and say they'll give you the address. And we got a couple of faces I haven't seen before, not to put you on the spot or anything, and I know you really engaged with the panel up here, but what's your name? Where do you live?
I'm from La Mesa. My name is Josh. I'm 40 years old. I'm a member of the San Diego Club Kids. I'm also a go-go dancer for them. But this year, like I said, I'm experiencing and opening doors to other parts of the community that I want to join and explore myself and find myself a little bit more.
As you have witnessed and everything, we're a fun group, and we're open to you exploring what you need to explore in your fetish and all that, and we'll support you doing that. And I haven't met you before. What's your name, bro?
Hi, my name is Ruben. It's my first time here. I was supposed to come with a friend. Keto, he's been coming the past two times.
He
wasn't able to make it tonight, but I'm here and wanted to come for a while, and I just had the time available, and decided to just come in and see what it's all about.
And what neighborhood are you
from? Oh, I live in Oceanside. So
not
too far. I mean, I come down here pretty much every weekend. Right. So it's like 30 minutes if I'm lucky, depending on traffic. But not too bad.
Okay. And for Josh and
Ruben.
And Ruben, we meet here the first three Wednesdays of the month, you know, when there's a four week month. And then we meet here, we have discussions, 7 to right about 9 or whatever. And you could probably Tony hook you up with the tell you where to go to find more information about the events, not only with fetish men, but in San Diego general. Mm-hmm. San Diego right now is like the hot spot if you want to be gay, kinky, and all that other stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on. And then the other thing is, and then on the fourth Wednesday, we have what we're having next week is a demo. So we usually have people in the community come out and demonstrate flogging. We've had fisting, whipping, needle play,
electrical
play. So and we'll probably be starting up again. We had a good run last year with all of that, so we'll probably be repeating that again. So just feel free to ask somebody and come on back. Anybody else that I'm missing? I haven't seen you in a while. Introduce yourself. You. Mark. You in the white.
Skip. Yeah, it's been a minute. I've missed y'all.
Where do you live?
Claremont.
Well, welcome back, Skip.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you for picking that up, buddy. Normally do a kind of an introduction thing in the beginning, but...
I know I've shook your hand before, but if you want to introduce yourself.
I was here last week.
Brendan?
Yeah.
We're part of the
We are everywhere.
So with that, I just want to thank everybody on the, we had a panel of bottoms and subs. I think that's a very unique situation to have them all in a rack. So, so if you are a, if you are a hungry top and a hungry bottom, you probably want to attack as soon as we end this meeting. Right?
But arranged a little differently.
So we're just gonna close and let's put the room back the way I got here. I didn't get here at 6:30, so I
have to set up using the aisles down the middle.
And there's a, yeah.
Yeah.